You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be One of Us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. Feel the need. Come on, someone.
The need for speed, but not speed high enough to take off. Just speed high enough to go really fast on the ground.
Isn't that from Top Gun?
Yes.
And not... What was the Tom Cruise racing movie? I'm forgetting that
one. Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder. Yeah.
That's Rubin's racing.
But that is actually... That is a Paul Newman movie that just happened to have Tom Cruise in it.
Much like The Color of Money. Which, they're both pretty good.
Yeah. No.
But I was thinking... Yeah. When
ironically enough, this movie reminds me a lot of that 80s era kind of... not so epic as to be a David Lean movie, but epic enough to be... kind of like the right stuff.
There's, I was thinking when I came out of Ford v Ferrari, what other racing movies are there? And I was like, there's not
Cars.
I mean,
Cars 2,
not
Cars
racing,
3,
not racing movies.
Cars 4 planes.
They do not count.
Talladega Nights,
I guess, technically counts. But you know what I mean, like real pure in the blood racing films.
There's Stroker Ace.
There's Stroker Ace.
The classic Kenny Rogers six pack. Oh.
That's true. Of course, Rush with Thor, as you pointed out earlier. And
there's Le Mans is one of the most famous.
Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Another one, which is really dull.
If you're watching this movie, Le Mans.
Yeah. and then Senna, the documentary, which is, I still am going to say, is the best racing movie ever made.
There was like a little spate in the 60s like that is kind of contemporary with this of, you know, because it was kind of a thing. It was, you know, with like, you know, that James Bond-esque type of very masculine cool of like, people that drive sports car really fast, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's true. There was definitely that point the car became synonymous with cool for a while there, and this movie kind of addresses that to some level, because Ford, who were making working people cars, were not sexy at all. They were not making sexy cars.
Hey, you shut up. The Ford Falcon was sexy as hell.
And basically, they went, like, we're losing points in the car market rapidly. We've been dropping in stock.
They're experiencing, like, a three-year slump.
Yeah, and they're like, well, what do we do? And in comes John Bernthal, unbelievably, supposedly.
Lee Iacocca. The man who saved Chrysler in the 80s, kind of.
Who's like, look at what Ferrari's doing. We should go and try and maybe we could purchase Ferrari and make a deal with them.
If we start, because Ferrari is they're not known as like family cars by any stretch of the imagination. They're high performance vehicles that only like really rich, you know, supposedly really cool people could afford. And he's like, hey, why don't we steal some of this cachet and open a you know, part of Ford that is just dedicated to making race cars.
Right. But the problem is they go over there with the best intentions, but what it comes down to is they were just being used for opportunity to make a sale to someone else who was from Italy.
They leveraged them against Fiat.
Yeah, and then Ferrari decided
which famously stands for fix it again, Tony.
Yeah, exactly. But and then Ferrari decided to, like, double down and basically try and humiliate them. At which point, Henry Ford II is like, this will not stand, man. This aggression will not stand. Go out and find us some people and make us a fucking race car to beat Ferrari.
Famously, like all of the Ford family, he's a huge asshole, so he reacts exactly like you would expect.
Classic rich white guy move.
Like, exactly.
Here's money, make me better. Make this better now.
Well, okay, so all that being said, those characters are all minor characters in this film outside of looming large in the background. Our two main characters are, first off, Matt Damon playing Carroll Shelby, who was a very famous racer, automotive designer, and engineer.
He was the first American to win the Le Mans, which is it's a race, you know, around a track, but it lasts 24 fucking hours.
I'm just like, I did not know that. And the moment they said that in this film, I just immediately, like, felt this full body ache. I was like, I mean, even the thought of watching it is like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Really? 24 hours of race? I'd be like, I'm never watching racing again. I saw a race. I'm done.
No, this isn't like a NASCAR, which, you know, you go around the track, turn left a couple of times, and then you can drink some Pabst Blue Ribbon in the parking lot. Nope.
Yeah, no, like, NASCAR is basically like going to see a hockey game. You're just like, you're not really there to watch what's going on, except for when something explodes.
You're buying fancy light shit for your kids in the parking lot.
Well, so Damon, or Shelby, is given the chance to basically take the lead, or at least the race car guy lead, in trying to make this happen, to build Ford a good car. And he realizes the guy he's got to get is Ken Miles, played by Christian Bale, who's a Brit who is himself a really good racer, but he started real late, so he's kind of, his career is kind of winding down. He's having money troubles, partially because he's kind of an asshole. Yeah, but he's the one who's happily married, weirdly, in this
But
story.
He's an asshole in a very different way than, like, Ford or Ferrari, or, like, rich. He's just, like, a free, independent spirit.
He's a
free thinker.
I will not listen to your
bullshit.
He's just,
bullshit. Like, a real fuck you kind
of
guy.
He's the Chuck Yeager of car racing and design.
And basically says, I need you to come do this. And the two of them aren't exactly best friends anyway. There's a lot of antagonism that is there, but there's immediately an obvious grudging respect.
It's not that they're not friends. It's just that they're kind of like Lennon and McCartney circa 1968.
Right.
they don't really agree on the best way to make a song.
So the film after that is a series of, like, stops and starts with trying to make the car work right. I mean, this is literally, what'd they say? They had 90 days or something to build
95 days.
Car.
Basically, just to get it to the point where they could you know, take it across across the seas and you know, do something and make a showing
and go from there to, like, win a major race, the Daytona, which is also 24 hours. Holy shit, what is wrong with you race people? I mean, like, literally an hour. That's good. I feel like we got it right. We figured out who won. An hour should be good.
Well, and
but
it's you know, the point is that you're making these cars that are practically, like, after the end of these things, they're going to be undrivable because they're just precision performance vehicles that are designed to go at these amazingly fast speeds and only last a certain time. And
for 24 hours, at least.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically like the fruit flies of the automotive world. It's like, oh, they burn so very bright, but for so very
and
little.
And even with the pit stops, you're still like, that's the entire life of a car, pretty much, of your average car, going like 300 miles an hour for 24 hours, like with a couple, like, Jiffy Lubes. Yeah. You're going to burn that sucker out. So we have a series of, like, basically the movie going, if you don't do this, it's not going to work out. And so a series of, like, races where it's like, we've got to do this or everything's going to go wrong.
Well,
and the plot's not going to go, our scrappy underdogs are not going to succeed.
There's an antagonist set up here in the form of the Ford company itself, which is, you know, they've been around since before the turn of the century. And they're very hidebound and they don't make race cars. And so you have, you know, these depths of executives making, you know, basically trying to steer things their way. And this is all personified with, is it Josh Lucas? Josh Lucas's character.
The perfect smarmy asshole.
Oh, man.
Almost too perfect here, because they basically, they're like, well, let's just, instead of having like a lot of different executives who are all kind of assholes, let's just make this one guy the one who's like always the guy in the room and be like, I have a horrible idea. Let's do this. Also, I don't like... I don't like Shelby, and I don't like Miles.
Yeah.
So it's
he's basically the worm tongue of this movie.
He really is.
I think it's kind of great, because this is like a broad stroke. It's a very broad stroke. It's a classic Hollywood sports movie.
There were a couple times I was face palming a little over, just like he practically sprouted a mustache and started twirling it. I get it.
But that was the thing, is you're right. It is such broad strokes, this movie, and I'm not sure that especially a movie as long as this would have worked if it wasn't such broad strokes.
Yeah.
Because this movie both wants to be a possible Oscar nominee and a audience pleaser film. And that's a hard balance to strike. Mm-hmm. There's usually at the end a year best of, there's usually one, maybe two out of the 10 or so that is that movie, and this is seems like it's going to be one of the surefire ones for that. Like, you're probably not going to win but that was a good show.
If anything, performances like Damon and Christian Bale, because they're like both, the movie lives and dies on their performances. Absolutely. Like, their chemistry, they're so funny together,
outrageous personalities.
Yes. And there's moments of like dramatic weight in the movie, again broadly drawn, but they still have to like hit those marks.
They put a lot of that on Christian Bale, and he's got a child in this, mm-hmm. and he's always kind of discussing the, you know, here's the soul of racing and what it is, and they have, you know, a big broad shot of a sunset, and,
yeah,
you know, him kind of, you know, being pensive. And these are the times where in this movie it bogs down for me. I was much happier when it was, hey, let's go back to watching Matt Damon do his Tommy Lee Jones impersonation, which he's really good at.
Yeah.
Don't take that as an insult, because he's nailing it.
No, it's funny, because like Bale is the most more outrageous of the two, but he is the one who has something that really tempers him, which is that his wife and his child, that they humanize him more, because he's such an outrageous personality without those scenes of his wife coming in saying, don't fuck us on this, don't let your temper get the better of you, come on, I love you, the character wouldn't have worked. And some people are going to accuse that of slowing the movie down, but I think those scenes are really necessary to sell his character.
Well, and for me, like, it was kind of some of the more exciting parts of this, because you don't get to see Christian Bale be this lighthearted ever.
It was nice he's to always hear his normal accent.
Yeah. And
you know, he usually plays an American. Yeah,
wasn't that his regular accent? Because I remember there was a thing
recently where he was
doing an interview and the internet freaked out because they were like, that's what Christian Bale actually sounds like?
Yeah. Close to that, yeah.
But
yeah.
He's always so serious.
No, he doesn't do receipt pronunciation like English. He's like, oh, yeah, mate.
Yeah.
Right,
and he's,
yeah.
And in a movie, I'm talking about his performance. He's always like so serious in movies. Like, I kind of get tired of how good he is at it. Like, even though he's incredible, it's just like, Jesus Christ, man, crack.
Just once I want to
smile,
see you crack.
My man. Yeah. Like, you know, let's get, and this is like, I'm trying to, other than like maybe The Fighter, where he's pretty lighthearted in that, but he is a crackhead as well.
Yes.
Like, it's like, this is the first time.
Just like the real Christian Bale, if you give him some crack, he'll lighten the fuck up.
And I don't know, he just seems like it's just fun to see Christian Bale like smiling and be like kind of a jokester, and like it's weird, and it's like, and seeing like these soft moments with his wife and his child, it's like, wow, this is something that you don't see often from him. So that kind of made those moments in the movie like exciting in their own right.
And Shelby, Matt Damon, is playing guy who's also bigger than life, but in a sort of like country boy sort of way, who like is, you can tell just from the first, really frustrated he can't drive anymore, but has realized that this guy is going to be his avatar. And this is going to be a bit of an uphill fight, because he is definitely rough to work with. But the movie lives or dies, as you said, on those performances and that relationship as it builds. Sure. And we see the trust between them start to become a real palpable thing. I think that that's where the true excitement lays in this movie, other than some incredibly well-shot racing scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And they make a point. They don't give you a race unless there's real odds for that particular race.
Yeah, no. There's no, like, warm-up races. For that stuff, they've got... You know, basically, they're testing all of this shit right outside of LAX on a tarmac. And, you know, they do some shit there. But they're not racing against other cars. And yeah, it's only when the stakes are on that you get like,
but even in some of the testing scenes, we'll have like, oh, that's when shit goes terribly wrong. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I like literally at one scene said, oh my God. Out loud. Like, holy shit. Did not see that coming. As did everyone in the scene. There's a lot to like here. I agree that with you, Bo, that like Lucas's performance is the most over the top. Because I mean, literally, his eyes narrow every time he talks. I just kept expecting to see like a snake tongue flip out for a second, because he's just so slimy. It's insane.
And there's a couple of decisions where the way that the power structure in this is, you know, put to us as an audience is working, that the suggestions that he makes, you'd be like, there's no fucking way anybody would listen to this guy. They'd be like, no, you're fucking stupid. And it's just like, but if he, you have a committee behind him going like, no, we've done studies and we've run numbers, you know, like the Kennedy administration that we're in, and we found that if we do this, it's just like, oh God. But you can't make that dynamic for the kind of film.
And I kind of buy it in the movie, because his characterization is one that's like, corporate ladder climber, always wanting to be the one with the idea in front of, like, he's always just like, he needs to like always let the people know, like, I'm still in charge here and I have this amount of power, and then seem right to the people above him. Like, you buy it. It is broad and it is like sort of silly, but within the rules of the movie and the way the movie is operating, it works.
I grudgingly went along with it. And this is an old fashioned movie in a lot of ways, in many good ways, but in a lot of bad ways too. And that's one of the things where it's just like, well, I'm going to accept this, because if you don't, you're just going to get gummed down at it. And it's like, it's certainly not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, and they don't.
And you know, God bless him. He does a great job with what he has given.
They don't spend the whole movie playing on it either, which is what I was a little worried about, because when you first meet him, you're like, uh-oh, this is going to be a thing. It's going to be constantly going on. Like, oh, good, scrappy underdogs versus evil corporate type. And really, it's just one of those that when they save it for the exact right moments, when you're right in the middle of triumph, to go like, oh, and now here comes this guy with a,
yeah,
how about you do this? Well, then
once again, like, there's a lot of things that this has you know, structurally in common with The Right Stuff. And yeah, he's the guy that's just like, well, they don't need a window in the space capsule. You know, who comes along with like these total, like, you know, pencil pusher ideas, and is inevitably overrun by, you know, the test pilots, or in this case, you know, the guys that are building this high performance vehicle.
True. Well, why don't you go into your final thoughts?
Yeah. So like I said, this is an old fashioned movie, and some of the bad things here, and hey, it's historical, so you can't really do much about it. But you know, if you're looking for representation here, thin on the ground.
This will not pass the Bechdel test.
Not pass
decidedly.
Yeah. The main female role in, who is played by somebody who is, I believe, an Irish actress, and I...
Oh boy, Catriona Balfe?
No, I can't even wrap my tongue around it, so you're probably gonna...
She's really good in it,
yeah,
though.
She's good, but it's very much the traditional, I am the supportive helpmate, you know, here to make sure you get things done, and I'll provide a little bit of conflict when, you know, it's just like, well, we've got a pair of bills, so we need to figure out
what the fucking movie is old school in that way as
but
well.
It's very old school in that way. You know, go in forewarned and don't get mad about it. Or don't go at all if you're going to get mad about it. that being said, I have already liked it a couple of times, The Right Stuff, and when this works, it's really in that vein where it's telling you know, something historical, but something that you can really invest yourself in, and it has stakes. The stakes generally pay off. You've got this great interplay between the two leads. So this is your thinking man's popcorn movie. It really is trying to work both sides of the field. It will probably at least pick up a couple of noms. You know, by God, I hope, oh, good Lord. Let me check a name. Ray McKinnon. By God, I hope Ray McKinnon gets the best supporting out of this, although he probably won't, because he's one of my favorite, like, go-to character guys.
He's great,
he plays kind of the shop runner for Shelby. And, you know, a lot of times he's, you know, these guys are the rocket or the test pilots, and he's more of the engineer, and he's the guy who comes in and is like, whoa, 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 let's not go apeshit here. And he's really good at that. You know, I think this is one of the more entertaining movies I've seen in a while. You know, it stacks up. I don't think it's best picture quality, but I do think it's fun picture, and there's certainly some high caliber performances in it, and very good direction. I think you know, one of the reasons that it reminds me of Right Stuff is that I saw a little of Phil Kaufman in this, and Phil Kaufman's one of my favorite directors. So,
and this is James Mangold, who has definitely done some really fun, good movies like 3:10 to Yuma, Walk the Line, Girl Interrupted.
He's like the best
Copland.
He's the best working like director who makes movies that aren't made anymore, like the mid-budget Hollywood movie. Yeah. Like, and no one makes them. He's the only one who still gets them kind of made.
And he's one of those guys
somewhat regularly.
He's one of those guys who, like Kaufman, is not well known, even though he's prolific and he does really good work.
Like 3:10 to Yuma.
You know, he's so good. He's a lot like, you know, Michael Curtiz.
Oh, which
you know,
everybody, was with Christian Bale as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like Michael Curtiz, who nobody ever thinks of as best director, but the guy, you know, he directed Casablanca. He directed some of the greatest movies of all times, but he's just, for some reason, never gets that recognition. I think this is a lot of stuff that works. I give it 8.5 casually swiped Italian stopwatches.
Sarah Jane, lean into the mic and give us your review.
Okay, I liked it. It was a little overlong for me. I felt like they could have cut out about 20 minutes. Yeah, the performances are really great. I gotta say, I really do not like Matt Damon. Like, at all. Huh. But he won me over in this one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's because he was being Tommy Lee Jones.
there it is.
The Martian himself.
My son really wants to see this, so I'm going to have to see it again. But it...
All 152 minutes of
it. I know. I mean, he sat through Endgame, so he can... twice. So he's...
But that was Endgame, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
That's superheroes.
So, but I did enjoy it. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10... Oh gosh, I don't even know at this point.
That's why we all go into this right before we even start thinking of what the arbitrary is going to be. Like, oh shit, I know what's going to happen if I haven't thought about it ahead of time. I'll be like, fuck.
Yes.
Alan?
I really love this movie. Like, I think intentionality with movies is really important. I think this movie is like nails, like bullseye, what it was going out to do, which is. Yeah, like the both sides of the aisle, not politically, but like popcorn movie, thinking man's like good performances. It's like, well, it's not stupid, even though it's entertaining, which is like something, it's like a hard line to walk these days. People like, we'll talk about like a Hobbs and Shaw or something. It's like, yeah, it's this fun popcorn movie, you know, but that movie is really stupid.
It's dumb.
And this movie is a fun popcorn movie that is like, smart and well performed and written
both
and directed.
Fun. That one's just.
But it's like,
and, and I'll also say, like, there were a shit ton of car guys.
Oh, a lot of car guys
in the audience tonight.
Oh,
yeah. And the,
and, like,
the movie,
professional car
guys. There was literally a guy driving a Ferrari ahead of me as I left
the guy
theater.
Sitting next to Martin, I guess, was a ex relatively well known professional driver because I heard the guy next to him talking to him. I was like, oh, that guy's famous.
And they got, you know, it drew some applause. So.
Yeah.
You know,
like
if
heavy
got,
applause.
Yeah, if you've got the car guy in your audience, this is going to be catnip. Yeah.
Or just, you know, your general dad will probably like it as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm not a dad, and I'm not a car guy, and I still really loved it. So I think it's a good general audience pleaser. Christian Bale and Matt Damon are really, really good in it. That's what wins the movie. I can't really, I mean, I'm sure you can get other, but just seeing two leads like that who I don't think have ever been in a movie together, it's just fun to see them act with each other, that alone, which you get a lot of in the movie. It's all built on their relationship, which is really great. So I'm going to give it a good 9 out of 10 framed wrenches.
I'm not a dad, but I do tell dad jokes on the internet. So I feel like that's got to count for something. I found this thoroughly entertaining. I was surprised. I mean, there were points I was feeling the length a little bit, but overall, I thought this was kind of breezy. It's harder in the first act than it is in the second two acts. Cause by the time the second act starts, once they're full on going, we're doing this, we're building a car for Ford, the movie just kind of is one straight line of like fun after that. Mm-hmm. The first act, when it's trying to get its pieces together, it stumbles a bit, but not too terribly. I found overall this is light entertainment. It's not you're right, Bo. It's not a Best Picture, but it's probably going to be a Best Picture nominee, and sure, that's not going to offend anybody either. You're like, yeah, okay, it's not going to win, but it was, but it's, you know, with that many nominees now, you're like, sure,
and,
why
and
not?
And there's something to be said for a movie that isn't necessarily challenging, but is like exceptionally well made.
Yeah, and it is exceptionally well made. And not just, I mean, everybody's talked a lot about, of course, how great that chemistry is between the leads, and it really is terrific. It is the backbone of the film. But man, Mangold knows how to shoot racing scenes. Holy shit.
We haven't even talked about those.
They are deeply exciting to watch. They are really well shot and are filled with tension. The movie spends its time along the way of making you know all the things that could go wrong with this particular model of car, and then being afraid that that's about to happen. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of tenseness along the way. And as well, like, you know, there's so many moments where you're like, tenseness, oh God, oh no, everything's fine. That, like, when the movie actually has kind of a tragedy at the end, you're like, that didn't happen, right? they're going to go like, no, of course it didn't happen. Everything's good. But this is a good time in the theater. And this is, I think they are, despite the release time, this is more concerned with being an audience pleaser film than it is with being an Oscar film. And I think it might do quite well on that level. I think people might really, this is one of those ones I can see people telling their friends, man, you got to see that movie. I know it's long, but you're going to have a great time with it. I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10. Best and most effective Ford car commercials of all time. There's no way Ford stock's not going to go up after this movie. Am I wrong? I mean, like, I was looking, I was like, they had to have been involved in the making of this, right? Like, in the production level.
I'm sure.
I mean, this whole movie is just basically like, you know what? Fuck Ferrari.
But it's also, they're not too kind to, like, the Ford stiffs either. They kind of show them like they're a bunch of, like,
that's true.
Square assholes.
No, that is true. They're equal opportunity hate corporate guys. Yeah. But in terms of the cars, they're like,
but the one's Ford American, goddammit.
Yeah.
I don't think we just mentioned how beautiful the cars are in there. It's some car porn. There's some really beautiful cars.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I think even the people who are more think of themselves as Fast and the Furious types will go, oh, this is cool. Like, you get that rumble in your stomach and the beautiful cars that are like, and from this period, the cars really were.
Well,
like,
and not only that, but you know,
so pretty.
Carroll Shelby was like, he still is to this point. He's like the par excellence of American car design. He's so widely respected. Even the Europeans were like, yep, that guy knew how to make cars.
Yep. Well, I don't. Is he still alive? I don't know. No. Okay.
No way.
So he knew how to make cars. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Fair. Because now he's dead and he can't.
Making cars in heaven.